All right. I hope you have your Bible with you today. And if you do, please open it to Psalm 139. And please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are God Almighty and we can worship you. Thank you for the worship this morning. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for being alive and real. And thank you that you didn't leave us alone. Give us your Holy Spirit, Father, and speak through me to all of us, that you would do amazing, wonderful things in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do you think about God? Who is God? What does he know? Are there things God doesn't know? Where does God live? How big and strong is he? Because what we think about God determines what we think about everything else in this busy world. And the wrong ideas about God ultimately lead to wrong ideas about who we are and about how we should live our lives. And it leads us on the wrong path. The right knowledge of God is essential to living a fulfilled life. David contemplated God, and he wrote us a psalm whose message will encourage us to know who God is. And that's the title of the message this morning, God Is. So if you're in Psalm 139, follow with me as I read the first six verses. As we look at God knows everything. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. So you know what this tells me? That God is like God. So often we try and create who God is in our own mind, and it's not usually very close. He is bigger, he is stronger, he is smarter, and he is more wonderful than we could ever imagine. God knows everything. No wonder so many people pray before you take an exam in school, right? He knows even more than Santa Claus. He knows when we sit, when we sleep, when we're good, and maybe not so good. But here's what I love. God is not just smart. He not only knows information, but God knows me. And God knows you, each one of you. The verb here, search, means to examine with pain and care. The Jewish people use this word to describe digging deep into a mine to search out the gold, the jewels, or for a lawyer investigating a legal case, trying to figure out every little detail. Our friends, they see us from the outside, but God knows our heart, and we cannot deceive him. And the fact is, he knows us intimately is stated here in several verses, as well as in Jeremiah 17:9, that says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Now, I realize as I share this about God knowing everything, for some of you, you think, wow, that is so wonderfully amazing. And some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, God knows everything. Ah! And we think of the things that we've thought that maybe we wish nobody knew, and we think nobody knows, but he knows when I sit, when I stand, and even our thoughts. We all think things we shouldn't think. The driver in the car that cut you off and you wished he could crash. The beautiful woman that you lusted after. The neighbor, his music was too loud at night and you wished he would just turn it off and never come back. Well, these are bad things and we should repent. Even if we didn't do anything, we just thought it. But I love that God knows all these things about us and he loves us just as much. Not a little bit less, not a little bit more, the same. He loves us just as much as if we were perfect. Why? Because if you're a born-again believer, that's how he sees you as perfect. How? In his son, Jesus, he makes us perfect and righteous in his sight. Nothing makes him love us any more or any less. We are perfect in his sight. Now, if you don't know Jesus, that's not true. But I have good news. Today, you will have a chance at the end of the message to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I hope you already do. So, God wants us to repent. We don't want to make God's grace cheap. That means you think, oh, I can just sin and ask God to forgive me. That's not how it works. God will forgive you, but We should never think that way. That's how Adam and Eve, they thought in the garden. That's how the devil wants you to think. And we never want to think how the devil wants us to think. So he loves you, and he will always love you. And he wants to have that personal relationship with you. Not just religion, but a relationship. Jesus wants to be your best friend. I hope he already is. So verse 3 goes on to say, he knows all our ways, the good, the bad, the ugly. Verse 4 tells us, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. There are many times he's trying to stop us from saying things. I remember not too long ago, I got an email from a friend of mine, and he was angry, and he said some things that were not very nice. And I wanted to send an email back right away. That wasn't very nice. You did this. Blah, blah, blah. And I felt like God was saying, wait till tomorrow to send the email. Just think and pray about it. Wait till tomorrow. Well, I forgot. Tomorrow I forgot. Then the next day came, and I got an email back from him. And he was apologizing. And I didn't say anything. And I'm glad, because if I would have said something right away, maybe we wouldn't even be friends anymore. And God protected me. He knew. God knows all these things. Sometimes he helps you to say the right thing. Sometimes he helps us to not say something that we were going to. Verse 5 reminds us that he is with us, before us, behind us, protecting us, even from COVID. He's protecting us. Amen? It reminds me of David, who wrote this psalm. A man after God's what? Own heart. He had a hard life, and a lot of that was his own fault. He was a big sinner. He repented. He asked forgiveness, and he was so close to God. Often, he was running away from Saul or Absalom or even others that wanted to kill him, but he knew that God was with him. And it wasn't easy, but knowing that God was with him gave him great peace. Let me ask you, how is the peace in your life today? Do you believe God's with you? Are you walking in all of his ways? Where are you today, right now, in your walk with Jesus? Are you closer than ever? Or are you starting to drift away? When we moved back from the mission field about 4.5 years ago to Santa Barbara, we had been gone for 8.5 years. And some of our friends, when we got back, they had drifted away from Jesus. Some of you know people. They used to come to this church, and they don't go anywhere anymore. And not just because of COVID, but they are far from God. How does that happen? Do we want to let that happen to us? God would never want that to happen. We need to pray for those people and stay close to God. Some people, they just are going through the motions. I go to church on Sunday because that's what I've done for the last 20 years. I just go. But are you just showing up? Are you just singing the songs, or are you worshiping? Maybe you read your Bible, but are you actually relating to Jesus? How's that passion? How's that fire? Or is the fire starting to go out? Is there more smoke than flame? See, we have this amazing God that should make us want to live 100% for him. Every thought, every breath, every action, every shilling for his kingdom, our time, our talent for his kingdom. He knows everything. And this should give us great peace when something we do not expect to happen actually happens. A bad report from the doctor. Remember, God knew about it before the doctor. He loves you, has a plan for your life. Sometimes we get off, so his plan is to get us back on track. You lose your job. You wonder, how am I going to pay the bills? What am I going to do? God knows. God's not in heaven going, oh my goodness, you lost your job. What? I don't know how that happened. God knows all these things, right? Maybe he has a better job waiting for you. Maybe he's trying to get you attention and get you closer to him again. Maybe a flat tire or your brakes having problems will remind you that we need to trust God for everything. God knows everything. Point 2, God is everywhere. Let's look at verses 7 to 12 with me, please. Follow along in your Bible. Where can I go from your spirit? Or how can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. So David continues and reminds us that God is everywhere. We can't run from him. We cannot hide from him. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden after they ate the guava. It was a guava, right? Maybe not. Mango? I don't know. But they knew they sinned, so they were trying to hide from God. And God, he says, where are you? Like he didn't know. It's almost funny. I've got grandchildren, 4 grandchildren, and they love to play hide and seek. And they are so funny because they're so little, you know? And they're like, come find me, Grandpa! You know? And it's so easy. And it's like God knew exactly where they were too. You know, it's like the same. He wanted them to confess their sin. When we sin, God wants us to confess and to repent, which means to never do it again. I don't know if there's a slide for that. But when we sin, if you're taking notes, write this down. God wants us to confess and repent, which means to never do it again. And he'll help us. Verse 9 reminds me of Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he tried to run away from God. So he goes to the Mediterranean, got in a boat going the opposite direction. And we all know what happened then, right? He ends up in the belly of a great fish. Can we run from God? He is relentless in his love for us. Even if we try to run away from him, he'll always be reminding us. He is there, a person, a flower, a sunset, or even a big fish. I suggest you never run from God, but you run to God. We sang a song about that this morning, didn't we? Another one this reminds me of is David. After he slept with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed, he thought, okay, I'm free. He was hiding from God, he thought. But God always knows. Think of it this way. He's right here, right there. When you're thinking of taking something maybe at work or looking at that picture on the internet, God's there. Finally, I think of Moses who killed the Egyptian, hid his body in the sand, thought no one saw it. And then later on in the book of Numbers, it says, your sin will find you out. Who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses did. He knew from experience his sin found him out. He learned the hard way. But there are great benefits to God knowing everything. Think about when you're afraid. God is with you. He's everywhere. I remember walking alone one night many years ago. I was up in the mountains. There was snow everywhere and it was dark. And I started to hear these dogs. They didn't sound like happy dogs. They sounded like hungry dogs. And I'm in the snow. I can't run very fast in the snow. And so I started praying. I started quoting scripture. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I never saw those dogs. Thank God. God is everywhere. When we hear a doctor give us a bad report, it's cancer. About 5 years ago, I cut part of my finger off. I was down in Mexico on a mission trip. We went to the doctor. We were like 2 hours from a doctor. We went one way to the doctor. He says, oh, I don't know how to do that. You got to go to the other doctor. So I had to drive all the way back. I got to that doctor. He threw my finger in the trash can. He said, it's too late. God knew. God was taking care of me. And thank God I can still play the guitar. So, amen. My mom passed away about 5 years ago. Just 7 weeks ago, my dad went to heaven. God was with our family. God was with my dad. He is there all the time. And now, my mom and dad, they are dancing together again in heaven. He's there when your children are rebellious, when someone you loved passes on. He's there if we want him to be or not. But if we're not looking for him, we may not realize he's there. And he's here right now. And he's speaking to you. Are you willing to worship him and surrender all to him and live for him? I beg you, repent from all sin in your life. You will never regret truly following Jesus. Never. God's everywhere. He knows everything, and he made everything. Let's look at number three. God made everything, verses 13 to 18. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God made everything. With all the debate in the world about abortion, this is fascinating. I believe the Word of God, and I believe what it says here, and I hope you do too, because it's God's Word, it's not mine, and it says, God knew us in the womb. That means we are alive before we were born. And that means if the baby is alive, to kill it is wrong, is murder. Nobody would kill a newborn baby on purpose, but thousands die every day in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5 and Job 10:8-12 also speak about the preciousness of life. You know, I was thinking if I was actually alive 9 months before I was born, maybe I should have a birthday, not just in June, but another one in September. And then I thought, maybe I should just have two birthdays, but then maybe I'd be twice as old. I don't know. But the day we were conceived is the day we were real. He formed our parts, the ones you can see, the ones you can't see. And God doesn't make mistakes. He made no mistake with you. Some of us wish we were different. Wish we were taller, wish we were shorter, wish we had longer hair, wish we had curly hair, straight hair. And you know what? We should be just so excited that God made us who we are. And of course, we need to take care of ourselves, but God made us the way we are. I remember a friend of mine, he saw this girl and he made this comment that just made me sick. He said, oh my gosh, she is ugly. And I didn't know who she was, but I was sure she was not ugly. She was God's creation. And maybe physically, she was not the most attractive person. She would never make a magazine cover, but she was beautiful in God's ways. Physical beauty is probably the least important. Our grandson, Otto, is there a picture of him? He was born 5 years ago with some genetic issues. There he is. The other guy's me. And so he is doing very well, but he's had many surgeries. He's 5 years old, and he doesn't really talk. He tries to talk. And he knows what he wants to say, but it just doesn't work. And we communicate very well, but God made him perfect. All right, you can turn the lights back on. And he is God's blessing to us and to his mom and dad. And God makes no mistakes. He is exactly who God wanted him to be. And I believe God has great plans for him as well. Verse 16 tells us God knows how long we will live. Sometimes I think my father, before he died, lived too long. Because for almost 2 years, he was not who he used to be. But we need to live each day for Jesus. There was a time when I fell away from God when I was in my teenage years. And I thought, oh, one day I'll come back to Jesus. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody is. And if we're foolish, tomorrow might come sooner than we think. We all know people that died too young. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And when we wake up in the morning, we should say, thank you, God, for this day. What do you want me to do for you today? And then we should do it. Look again at verse 17. God's thinking about you. One man said, it's like God has a postcard. And he sends you a postcard. And on the back, it says, thinking about you. Somebody said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He uses the plural here. The idea that he's thinking of you all the time. And it talks about the sum of those thoughts, which is also plural. It's a math term, adding up all those thoughts. And then he says he counted his thoughts towards us. How many thoughts were they? What's it say? Well, talks about the sand. So I brought some sand from California. I didn't know if you had any sand. No, I knew you had sand. But we got here late last night. So I brought some sand. But think about all the sand. Look, every grain of sand is a thought that God has towards us. So I want you to count the... Okay, will you count them as I pour, please? All right? All right. And think of all the beaches in Uganda. You know, all the lakes, Lake Victoria, all the rivers. There's sand on all of them, right? And then think of the whole continent of Africa. All the beaches, all the lakes, all the rivers. Are you counting? How many so far? Okay. And then you think of all the continents in the world. North America, South America, Asia, Antarctica. I don't know if there's any sand in Antarctica. It's probably cold sand. But all those, and everyone, he said, more than every grain of sand are his thoughts towards us. You know what? I think God's crazy for you. He just loves you so much. You know what he did? He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He's thinking of you all the time. I have that shirt, by the way. You didn't take mine, did you? So, that's how much God's thinking of you and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. So much sand. And then not only is he thinking about us, but the Bible tells us he's actually praying for us. I don't know if these verses are on there. Hebrews 7:25, Romans 8:34, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that tells us how he's praying for us. So God made everything. But most importantly, God made you and me. Do you know why? Because he wants a relationship with you. To be your friend. Do you have that relationship with you? Again, if you don't have a relationship with God, today is the day you can be born again. We will give you that opportunity. But how about those of you that are already born again? I'm sure that's most of us. Is that relationship stronger than it ever was? Is it stronger than it was a year ago? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? Is it just as real on Monday as it is on Sunday? Is it real at work? Do you spend time with Jesus every day, praying and reading his word? Some of you think, how little can I do and still be a good Christian? And we shouldn't think like that. We should think, how much can I do to serve him? Is it ever too much? What has he done for us? Whenever we share communion, we are reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection. David was said to have a whole heart for God. His son Solomon only had half a heart for God. And then his son, Rehoboam, fell away from God. No heart. And I want to have so much passion for Jesus that not only does it affect my son and my daughter, not only does it affect Otto and my other three grandchildren, but I want it to affect their kids and their grandkids and their grandkids. I want it to continue on and to get stronger and stronger and grow and grow. Point number four, God is all righteous. Let's look at verses 19 through 24. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think most people that would preach on this chapter would stop before they get to these verses. And as I was studying them, I even wondered, how do these verses fit in this passage? I don't get it. Often, we love to talk about a God of love and a God of generosity, but we don't like to talk about a God of justice or righteousness. And the reality is, he is loving and he's also righteous. Jesus actually spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Most of us, we may act like there is no hell. Because if we really believed in hell, a place where people will go and suffer with pain and agony and fire forever and ever and ever, we would probably care more to share the gospel with those people. We love the promise of heaven, but hell is real as well. Well, the Gentiles were not good neighbors to the Jewish people. They hated them. They detested them. There was a saying that if a Gentile fell into a ditch or a hole or into the sea, you wouldn't even pull them out. You wouldn't even save them. They considered Gentile to be fuel for the fires of hell. God commanded their forefathers to drive out the Canaanites and all the other ites when they took over the promised land, those ancient inhabitants were terrible people. They were vile and corrupt and depraved, some of the worst in all history, offering human sacrifices, even their own children, burning them alive. It was part of God's wrath on them in bringing Israel to the promised land. But it's one thing to defend the honor and glory of God by seeking the defeat of his enemies, but it's another to hate people personally as your own enemy. God is righteous, holy, and just. He loved Adam, but he also cursed him. He loved Cain, but he punished him. He loved Sodom and Gomorrah, but he destroyed them. He loved Israel, but allowed her to be conquered and exiled. So remember who wrote this psalm, David. And he dealt with the wicked chasing him, tormenting him for years and years and years. At the same time, even though he had two opportunities to kill King Saul, he would not do it. And even though David says these things here in the psalm, I do not believe that God wants us to hate sinners, but to love sinners, hate the sin. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard what it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and all the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" That was Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 46. So it's difficult to love rebellious sinners and still hate their sin. But I call that a holy hatred. And we need that, because sin is becoming so popular and so entertaining. So David says in verse 21, "Do I not hate those who hate you, God? I hated them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies." But then in verse 23, David says, "Search my heart. Try me." It's the idea of testing. Is the metal pure or not? And maybe David just sensed that his hatred was not righteous, and that he was a little bit off, and he's saying, "God, test my heart. Maybe I want to understand you more." And he realizes, because he's called a man after God's own heart, that we see a heart of a man that wants to be open to God, that wants to be willing to change, to cut sin out of his life and allow God to lead every step of the way, and to even help him love sinners. Because that's what God wants us to do, to love everybody, to love even the sinners. That's what God wants. It can be hard, but love the sinners, hate the sin. I want to do that. I think you want to do that. And I have to think, one of the reasons you're at church today is so that you can grow in your love, not only for God, but for others, especially those that don't know Him. So I want to encourage you, men, tomorrow night, we've got an opportunity. Invite somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Go find some sinner. And don't call him a sinner, but say, "Hey, we'd love to have you come." And all the events that we have coming up. God wants us to be more like Jesus, to be more loving like Jesus, to be sin less, to shine our light stronger, to live completely for God, not 90%, not 99%, 100% for God. So how does God want you to change? At home, maybe at work, on the computer, with your marriage, your kids, in your neighborhood, in your walk with Jesus. He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with me either. When he's finished, we'll be in heaven, walking those streets. And then I'll get to dance with my mom and dad. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God Almighty. You are full of love, and you are full of righteousness as well and justice. Lord, we want to love like you loved, completely and wholly and in an amazing way. Lord, sacrificially, generosity. And I just pray that you would help us to love others. And thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. And I think almost everyone knows you, but God, even if there's only one that doesn't know you, or maybe two or three, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be born again. If you're not born again, you will not go to heaven. You will not see the kingdom of heaven, but you will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And so today is the day, if you are willing to come to God, repent from your sins, and be born again Christian, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you've already prayed it, you don't need to pray it again, but you can follow along. It goes like this. Repeat in your heart after me, "Dear God, thank you that you love me and you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. Please forgive my sins. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Make me the person you want me to be. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you, God, that you've heard this prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,